Preparing students to be good citizens is one of many obligations of educators. Yet teaching controversial topics, the very topics that challenge informed citizens, often vexes educators. How can they encourage political debate so as to engage students' thinking and excite them about the world we share without imposing their own beliefs on their students? Well, political researchers Diana Hess and Paula McAvoy, both former high school teachers, took on the question in their new book, The Political Classroom, Evidence and Ethics in Democratic Education. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Diana Hess and Paula McAvoy to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Well, Diana, let us begin with you. How did this project come about?
Well, the project started in 2005. I had been researching how young people learn about controversial political issues for a number of years. And in 2005, I decided to embark on a different study than anything I had done in the past. I wanted to compare students in different kinds of states, states that were more liberal states, conservative states, and states that were quite mixed. And I also wanted to follow students beyond high school. So the design of the study was to go into high schools in three states, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Illinois, and go into very different kinds of high schools, public schools and private schools, religious schools and charter schools, schools in rural areas, suburban areas, and urban areas. And we first found teachers who we knew were engaging their students in discussions of highly controversial political issues, issues like whether or not same-sex marriage should be legalized, issues like today, for example, what should we do about the Keystone Pipeline. And in those classes, we spent a lot of time surveying students and interviewing them, and then we followed them 2 and 4 years out after high school to try to ascertain what difference the class made on their actual political and civic engagement. We also had classes in those schools who didn't use controversial political issues or who used controversial political issues, but the quality of the discussion wasn't quite as high. So we have a comparison as well.
So let me ask, Paula, because looking at those years, 2005 and 2009, it was really a heated time to be discussing many of the issues that Diana mentioned.
Right. Both the last two presidential elections and even the two before that, as you are probably well aware, have been highly contentious, that the political discourse is divisive. Some people call it uncivil, and we're living in a very polarized partisan era. On top of that, we have increasing income inequality, which is, as political science has shown, is contributing to polarization. And we also have people now living and working, or more likely to live and work, with people who think like they do politically. And as a result of all these changes, teaching young people to engage in political discussion and interpret their political world has become more challenging. And so part of the study was designed to figure out, you know, how different contexts are affecting how teachers introduce political issues in the classroom.
When you look at those political issues, Diana, how much, as you say, you were following students beyond the classroom. So how much of it was an understanding of the system at large, and how much of it was what they actually learned in the classroom that had a factor in their decisions on those issues?
Well, we found that those things went together, that in classrooms where students were learning about these highly controversial political issues, they also learned a lot about the system writ large. So it wasn't like you did one at the expense of the other. What we did find is that the issues were highly engaging to students. And because they were so engaged, they were much more likely to remember what happened in those classes. When we interviewed them 2 and 4 years out after high school, we were just astonished at how specific and vivid their memories were. So I think one of our main findings is that one way to entice young people into learning about the political system writ large, or a broader perspective on the political system, is through the introduction of these controversial political issues.
So who's introducing these issues, Paula? Where are they coming from? Because I find it interesting, because it would really depend on the professor, it would depend on the course, it would depend on the major, right? Those are all factors.
Right. So we were in high school social studies classes, primarily juniors and seniors. And so these were often the U.S. government course, the U.S. history course, or other social studies elective courses. And so these you can imagine, lend themselves to discussions of political controversy. But at the same time, we think that, you know, we define the political classroom as classrooms that help young people deliberate questions that ask, how should we live together? And the science classroom, for example, is another area in which one could help young people think about, well, how should we live together given, you know, particular set of evidence or ethical dilemma in science. So I think that it's possible to use controversy in a lot of different situations, but we were primarily looking at social studies teachers.
Diana, when you think about it, you argue in the introduction that schools should be and ought to be political sites. Do you think that most of the teachers you ran across, especially the ones in those government classes, understand that?
Well, for the most part, yes. The teachers that we studied were teachers who conceptualized their work as preparing young people to participate in democracy. So when we asked them, well, why are you doing what you're doing in the classroom? They would say it's not just that they want students to learn about how the system works or doesn't work, as the case may be, and it's not just that they want students to develop certain skills, critical thinking skills or the skills to discuss, but they want students to see themselves as participants in the political and civic worlds. So most of the teachers who were the most effective, in our view, were teachers who had that broader conception of what they were doing. Now, of course, that's not the case for all teachers. There's some teachers who think what they're doing as a history teacher is to just, you know, teach kids about what's happened in the past. And there are other people who think, no, we want to make sure students can link what's happened in the past to what's happening today.
So with the changes made in education and the curriculum that has been set forth by many institutions, does that hamper what the teachers may individually want to do?
You know, the United States has a long history of local control over education. And so, you know, this is changing, of course, right now during the standards movements. But the curriculum, you know, for the most part, social studies teachers have some say over the curriculum and at least how they will go about teaching that curriculum. And so there are, I think, maybe more opportunities in social studies than in other subjects to take on activities like this.
So, Paul, let me stay with you and ask the question about the subtitle of the book is Evidence and Ethics in Democratic Education. We've been talking mostly about the evidence. Talk about the ethics. Where does ethics come into this discussion?
That's a great question. So when we were observing classroom teachers and talking to them about their own practices, we began to notice that there were these sort of ethical problems that arise when teachers bring politics into the classroom. And we also noticed that teachers were making very different decisions about what they would do. So, for example, a common one that probably every teacher has, you know, struggled or given some thought to was whether or not if I'm talking about politics, I should share my own views with my students. So that's one issue that we bring up. We also talk about what is introduced as a controversial issue. This is itself a controversy. So which issue should you bring into the classroom requires professional judgment. And finally, how do you make, you know, how should you deal with a situation in which you have a minority of students in the classroom that find an issue particularly sensitive to them. So same-sex marriage that Diana just mentioned earlier was an issue that some teachers worried about bringing into the classroom if they knew they had gay students or students with gay parents. They didn't want to invite them to have to hear sort of offensive views in the classroom. So we argue in the book that we don't make a stand that we have the answer to all of those questions. What we talk about is that we try to provide teachers with a model for thinking about what good professional judgment is, and it requires them to attend to the aims of their course, which is what we've been talking about, and the evidence and the context in which they're teaching.
And just picking up on that, Diana, what happens when you're in a class and perhaps all of the students are of like mind and you also want to expose them to a conflicting opinion, the other side?
Right. Well, one of the things we found is that there were a number of classrooms in our study where the students had a lot of ideological sameness. We called these like-minded classrooms. And in those like-minded classrooms, we noticed that teachers would employ specific strategies to get students to think about and hear perspectives that were different than the ones that would naturally occur during a classroom discussion. So one strategy, for example, was to play devil's advocate, where the teacher, him or herself, would insert those views. Another strategy was to make sure that the materials that students were using in advance to prepare for the discussion expose kids to differing points of view. And one of the things that we noticed is that there are a lot of high-quality materials that are developed by nonprofit organizations in the United States. Organizations like Choices for the 21st Century at Brown University, or the Constitutional Rights Foundation in Chicago, or Street Law that's in Washington, D.C. And those and other organizations often prepare materials on these highly controversial contemporary issues that do have lots of differing points of view. And the third strategy we saw, one that was really interesting to us and to the students, was for the teacher to invite a guest speaker in who had a point of view that was dramatically different than what the students believed. So, for example, in one class, the teacher brought in a speaker who was very much in favor of banning abortion. And in this particular class, the students disagreed with that view. And the teacher wanted to make sure that students not only read about a view that was different from their own, but actually had to encounter in person somebody who believed strongly in those views. And when we interviewed students 2 and 4 years after high school, one of the things that we noticed is that students really respected the teachers who in some ways forced them to engage with views that were different than what they would typically hear in other classes in the school or here at home. So we came to have a lot of respect for these teachers who saw like-mindedness as something that needed to be challenged, not just something that needed to be accepted.
You followed up with many of the students, as you mentioned, in the study years later. So, Paula, what did you learn about their interest in politics today?
One thing that stands out immediately is when we ask them about the classes and what they remember from the classes, as Diana mentioned earlier, a lot of them remember the discussions and remember discussion as being their favorite part of the class. And we know that when we interviewed them as they were exiting the classrooms, or surveyed them as they exited and compared them to students who were in lecture classrooms, we know that the students who had discussions of controversial issues were more likely to say that they were now interested in politics, and they were more willing to talk about politics with their family and friends and coworkers. And so we think that just sparking the interest in political issues and being an informed citizen is a huge outcome.
The name again of the book is The Political Classroom, Evidence and Ethics in Democratic Education by Diana Hess and Paula McAvoy. Diana and Paula, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is The Political Classroom, Evidence and Ethics in Democratic Education. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.